This is the Best Health Podcast, brought to you by Wake Forest Baptist Health in partnership with MedCost.
Good day. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Best Health Podcast, brought to you by Wake Forest Baptist Health. I'm Justin Gomez. I'll be hanging out with you for this episode. As usual, we are very blessed and to have another great guest with us for this episode, like most of our other episodes. We'll be talking with Dr. Olivia Gilbert today. So welcome, Dr. Gilbert. How in the world are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. So Dr. Gilbert is part of our cardiology team here at Wake Forest Baptist Health. And she has lots of really great information to talk to us about today surrounding heart health. And specifically, we're going to get into a little bit of information, a little bit more detail about heart failure and, you know, some information about heart failure and how you all might be able to navigate that should that come up in your healthcare conversations with any of your providers for anyone that's listening. But before we do, Dr. Gilbert, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background, and why you decided to become a doctor.
Great. So I am mostly from Virginia growing up. Okay. Had done most of my medical training in Virginia, went to Georgetown University for my residency, and was drawn to this area for fellowship because this is where my husband is from.
Okay.
And boy, did I feel lucky to discover Wake Forest. We joke that I felt I died and came to heaven when I moved to Winston-Salem from D.C.
Wow. I might steal that quote and use it later. That's a great quote, Dr. Gilbert.
So have really enjoyed this community and Winston-Salem and Wake Forest very much since I came in 2013 to this area. What got me interested in medicine and specifically in heart failure? Like a lot of physicians, had personal experience or family experiences with specific conditions. I actually had an arrhythmia growing up, meaning I had some irregular heartbeats that landed me in the emergency room and with medical procedures during my teenage years. And then actually my stepfather had numerous heart attacks and ultimately ended up with heart failure.
Oh, wow.
And struggled with it for a prolonged period of time. I will say I was very inspired by him as a minister, very positive, proactive human being, didn't let anything hold him back and continued missions work even up until the year that he passed away.
Oh, wow.
He was very active, and so he very much inspired me, and I try to use that with my patients now to encourage them to stay active, to stay motivated, engaged, and that this is an important part of surviving and thriving with the heart failure diagnosis.
Sure. Well, thank you. That's a great answer. That's very inspirational. Dr. Gilbert, as we get into, you mentioned heart failure. So I'll try and start at a kind of a baseline for listeners, because there's some listeners that maybe have been around doctors or healthcare more so than other listeners. So we hear basic definitions around the doctor's office or around our heart, right? So if I go to my primary care doctor, hopefully everyone listening has a primary care doctor. If you don't, get one. Shameless plug. So if you go to your primary care doctor and you hear, you get some blood work done for your physical, you might hear high blood pressure. You might hear high cholesterol. Maybe several of us have experienced a loved one that has had, quote unquote, a heart attack. So there's all these heart terms around. And then there's the heart failure term. So just if you want to lay it out on a foundational level of what heart failure is and how someone might come to experience heart failure, I think that will give us a good jumping off point.
Sure. And I will say off the bat, I wish there were a different word or description for it, because if I had a nickel for every time a patient says to me, why does it have to be called heart failure?
Right.
Just it seems to have this negative connotation.
Sounds ominous.
It sounds ominous. And so hopefully I can provide some reassurance regarding that. But essentially what heart failure is, and what may be a better way to say, is inefficiency. So it's an inefficiency of the pumping function of the heart.
Okay.
So there's two basic types. One where the heart doesn't squeeze as strong as it should.
Mm-hmm.
The other where the heart is stiff, so it doesn't relax the way it should.
Yes, reminding people that the heart is a muscle.
That's exactly correct.
It could be a stiff muscle.
It can be a stiff muscle, exactly. And so if we think about efficiency being the ability to squeeze blood out of the heart, if the pump is not strong, we can't squeeze enough blood. If the heart is stiff, we can't squeeze enough blood. So two totally different types of heart failure that fall under that broad term, but essentially result in the same outcome,
mm-hmm.
which is less efficient blood production to the body, output to the body.
Gotcha. So with this heart muscle doing its job, can't really take a break. It's got to always be pumping blood around. How does one get diagnosed with heart failure? Is it automatic? Like, if I have a heart attack, am I automatically thrown into the heart failure category now? Or do I have to have a heart attack to have heart failure? Or can I have heart failure without a heart attack? How does one maybe become diagnosed with heart failure? Is it just genetics, or what has to happen?
So it's a clinical diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And what is meant by that is that there are not automatic labs, imaging results that immediately provide this diagnosis. So it is diagnosed with a combination mm-hmm. of labs, imaging, and symptoms.
Okay.
So with this combination of findings, I should also throw physical exam in there,
sure.
that physicians can paint a picture, so to speak, based on what the patient's body is telling them. So it's not necessarily one item or another slam dunk. It's a picture, a clinical picture.
Okay. So if someone is feeling not at 100%, what are some of the signs or symptoms that maybe they would need to talk to one of their doctors about this?
Sure. So some of the cardinal symptoms mm-hmm. would be shortness of breath, especially when walking around or even when sleeping. People will find that they need to prop themselves up to sleep comfortably or even wake up short of breath in the middle of the night. Things like leg swelling are another very frequent finding. Along with that, people can have swelling in their abdomen that can affect their appetite. They can also feel lightheaded and have the feeling of extra heartbeats as well. Sometimes, less commonly, people can feel a sense of discomfort in their chest. Perhaps if fluid is accumulated in their body or in their lungs, that can give that sensation as well. So that spectrum of symptoms could raise suspicion.
Dr. Gilbert, that's really great information. You know, as a follow-up to what you were saying, some people have varying stages of heart failure. And in the more extreme cases, we do have the capability and the expertise here to facilitate a heart transplant. So if you wouldn't mind just touching base about that, since it is such a an advanced program that we have here at Wake Forest Baptist Health with the heart transplant program, and just touch base about that real quick. I think that would be interesting for listeners to hear.
Absolutely. So it is certainly a tremendous thing to ever have to think about a heart transplant.
Sure.
And so I take great pride in our team and the level of care and attention to detail that we provide. And we're very proud of the fact that we are the only center for transplant in North Carolina with 100% one-year survival, and something that we truly cherish and intend to preserve. So I think it speaks highly of our entire team and the level of commitment required to maintain that.
With you being in clinic and seeing your patients for several years now, does heart failure, do you see its track with a certain demographic, with older versus younger, women versus men, or can it happen pretty much across the spectrum?
So it is certainly more common in the older population, with a frequency of about 5 to 10% in those greater than age 80. Okay. So certainly it is more prevalent with age.
Okay.
That being said, we are seeing it in younger populations due to a number of poor lifestyle factors, obesity, high blood pressure, all of these sorts of issues that can lead to that stiffening process that I talked about. So what we are seeing these days, actually, is a much faster increase in the stiffness kind of heart failure than the weak kind of heart failure. And that's because of lifestyle issues with so many folks these days.
Well, I'm not a doctor. You're a doctor. But I think, you know, I was talking with one of your colleagues, Dr. Shapiro, and he said, you know, just getting out and doing any sort of activity, going back to what you said earlier at the beginning, being active, that might be some of the best medicine. You know, you don't have to go out and run a marathon, but just some sort of a regular activity, physical activity can help keep you on track, correct?
And that is absolutely correct. This stiffening process of the heart can be almost part of the normal aging process for a lot of people.
Okay.
But the best way to combat it, like any other muscle in your body, as you've pointed out, if you don't use it, it gets stiff and weak. And the same with the heart, it tends to stiffen without adequate use and exercise. So exercise is absolutely one of the best ways to combat heart failure in general, but specifically the type where the heart gets stiff.
Okay. So that's great advice, Dr. Gilbert. So let's say I've experienced some of these symptoms. I come to you or one of your colleagues and, so it's the diagnosis is made. I have heart failure. So now what? Now what would I be doing to treat it and help manage it? What would be the next steps?
So it's important to go back to talk about the two types of heart failure because they have two totally different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
The one where the heart is stiff, the management of that revolves around lifestyle factors. So doing everything in our power to manage someone's high blood pressure, diabetes, sleep apnea, excessive weight on their body, lack of exercise, all of these issues can contribute to that stiffening. And so we focus on changing those lifestyle parameters. Exercise in the form of rehabilitation too. Cardiac rehabilitation can be beneficial for a lot of folks. So focusing on those lifestyle management sides of treatment are the best way to go. Now, I will say we do use diuretics for those individuals as well, but I would want to emphasize that they are not actually improving the condition. They are just treating the symptoms. So to get to the root of the cause, we would really want to focus on all of those lifestyle issues.
Gotcha.
As far as the heart failure where the pumping function is weakened, we have a much broader array of treatment options. And that partially depends on if there are specific things causing it. Mm-hmm. So we always want to look for reversible causes. The most common cause for the weakened pumping function is coronary artery disease, clogs in the arteries.
Okay.
You referred to heart attacks before. Mm-hmm. So that sort of coronary disease would be the most common reason to have a weakened pumping function. Now, if we address clogs, obstructions, blockages in the arteries, we can actually improve and reverse heart failure.
Okay.
So there's other circumstances similar to that, though less common, things like fast heart rhythms mm-hmm. for prolonged periods of time can cause fatigue to the heart. And so by addressing those fast rhythms, we can, in fact, reverse the heart failure.
Sure.
Things like cocaine and alcohol use that can cause heart failure, cessation of those can lead to improvement as well. As far as the actual therapies that we have options for an array of medications that have led to improved survival of this disease process over recent times.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of surgical options available for those who don't respond to medical therapies. Things like heart transplantation, heart pumps, those sorts of options. And in severe cases where people are frail and of advanced age and their quality of life is compromised by the disease, we can talk about options for things like palliative care to be able to help people really focus and optimize that quality of life in the later stages of the disease process.
Sure. Well, I'm glad that you just went through kind of a spectrum there. That was going to be one of my questions. You kind of answered it already of just if a doctor tells you heart failure, that doesn't automatically mean you have to get a scalpel and go operate it on me. There's lots of different options depending on your specific circumstances.
Absolutely.
So I don't want people to, you know, we've talked about this in previous podcasts with different conditions that we bring up, but you know, and I've experienced this to some degree to myself, and I think other people out there do as well. That I'm afraid of what the answer might be, so I'm just not going to go to the doctor for a while, right? But we want to kind of dispel that and say, if you're feeling any sort of symptoms or not 100%, you would encourage going in and visiting a provider to get checked out. Correct.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because as I mentioned, there are so many opportunities to identify reversible causes. And if we neglect those, the disease can progress to where it may not be as reversible as it would have been if someone had sought earlier care.
Sure. And I think that, you know, being here at Wake Forest Baptist Health, and I've talked about this with Dr. Shapiro and others, there's this really great team, comprehensive team approach. I don't know if you want to touch on just the benefits of working here at Wake Forest Baptist Health and being seen here at Wake Forest Baptist Health, of some of the benefits if someone is having some of these symptoms, that the treatment that they could receive here is pretty amazing based on some of what y'all are doing here.
Absolutely. So we have a tremendous heart failure team here with 5 heart failure providers.
Oh, wow.
So I have 4 wonderful partners that I work with. And we have made a tremendous effort to establish a presence in each of the 5 hospitals that are associated with Wake Forest proper.
That's fantastic.
In Winston-Salem,
yeah,
as well as the other sites, Wilkes, Lexington, High Point, Davie, so that we have an established presence across the system.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we've worked very hard to standardize our care processes for heart failure on inpatient and outpatient basis at all of those facilities, and to be able to rapidly accelerate care for those who may be sicker in an efficient fashion, to where we can sort of cover this broad geographic area, but all collaborate and work together to provide accelerated care for those who need it most, but also just to be able to be present in the community, to be able to provide service locally for individuals. Sure. I'll also say that we are very closely tied with the veterans facilities in Kernersville. We actually have a heart failure clinic, which is unique. There are not many VA facilities with dedicated heart failure clinics, which was an honor yeah. to be a part of, something that we all take great pride in participating in, but just an additional community touch that we have to be able to share care with the VA and with our providers here, so that patients can have the more advanced imaging and procedures through our Winston campus that may not be offered through the VA. And so through this geographic presence and collaborative care, we work really hard to keep patients local, to meet them where they are, and to only have to bring them to the bigger facility as needed for specific reasons.
Well, I think that helps the patient and the family as well, keeping them closer to home. That's great that y'all have this standardized care across all the campuses. We're talking with Dr. Olivia Gilbert today. We'll be wrapping up here in just a second. If you have more questions or interested in learning more, just a quick information, you can go to wakehealth.edu/heart, and there's more information on the website. If you want to see a doctor, you need to make an appointment, or just want more information, y'all can also call 336-716-WAKE, and they can guide you to the proper place as well. So as we're wrapping up, Dr. Gilbert, heart failure, you know, if you have to give one piece of advice as we're closing out, just to help keep people on the healthy track, so that they don't have to come to your doorstep too often, what would you recommend to people?
I would recommend exercise, weight regulation, and dietary optimization.
Okay. So just watch what you eat and exercise, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, I think it's very comforting that you and your team are here should anyone need to see you. If anyone is having any of the symptoms that Dr. Gilbert mentioned, please make an appointment and get checked out. And they're here to take care of you if you need it. So, Dr. Gilbert, I appreciate you joining us. It's been a lot of fun talking with you today. I hope that you have a great rest of your week and weekend coming up.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. You as well.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Best Health Podcast. And until we talk next time, be well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Best Health Podcast, brought to you by Wake Forest Baptist Health. For more wellness info, check out wakehealth.edu and follow us on social media. Wake Forest Baptist Health, the gold standard of healthcare.